I did start last week and talking about a series of learning to not be a victim versus a victor. So we're going to shift into out of prophetic mode into teaching mode, because I think there's just times when we need that. There's times I've changed my message up based off what was going on. Sometimes we just did prophetic things. But today, last week, probably one or two more weeks it'll take to get through this. And this is teaching us as Christians to not be victims, but to be victors. There's three levels of people, as we said. So I'm going to do a quick review from last week and move into new territory here real quick. And that is, we're all usually one of three V's, the letter V's. A villain, a victim, or a victor. We don't want to be, if you're a villain, imposing abuse on others, narcissistic behavior on others, that's another topic. The quick lesson is, repent and stop it. And change your behavior. I know it's not that easy. But right now, I want us to move into victor, because as I said, we are seeing a huge shift in this country to impose permanent victimhood on the citizens. It's been through our country for a long time, but when it's reached the national level, and I'll talk about that briefly, that tells me we've already given permission to it at the personal level and the regional level, and the national level is just reinforcing it. This is why it's so important to identify what a victim mentality is. We'll review it here in just a minute. Because if you impose a victim mentality on yourself, an entitlement mentality on yourself, you will never, listen to me, you will never enter into all the things God has for you. He is not a victim. On the cross, he was betrayed. I hear people whining, this happened to him, that happened to him, and I understand it happens. There's a difference between being a victim, victimized, and living in a perfect victim mentality behavior all the time. We've all been victimized. But if we stay there, that's where we pick up a victim mentality, and you can never be a victor. Now, the first thing to realize is you have to choose to be a victor. If you're waiting for somebody to deliver you, free you, give you something, change something, you will never be a victor. You're still got a victim mentality, thinking somebody has to do something for me. Jesus Christ is big enough to overcome whatever has happened to you. The blood of Jesus on the cross, of what he did 2,000 years ago, what he's doing for today with all of his gifts, fruits, resurrection, love for you, his first son, no matter what's happened. I'm not downplaying that. It can be traumatic. And we there's times for counseling and there's times for healing. But you have to embrace it. And if you're waiting for something to happen to get you to the next level, besides walking closer with God, you will not get to the next level. We're seeing whole society getting in this victim mentality where our hope is in a lawsuit. Our hope is in the government doing something for us. It is anti-biblical. Now, the Bible does not endorse any kind of government. When the Bible was written, they were under a dictatorship in that part of the country of the Roman Empire. Kings, dictatorships were everywhere. Okay, they didn't have the concept of socialism, communism, Nazism, fascism, capitalism, anything. You follow what I'm saying? And so this, but there are biblical principles that if the government that we choose is based off those biblical principles, will receive his blessings. If it's not, then we have to make it work, and we're just not that good. And there's two, you know, we hear all this talk about socialism. There are too many, I've got a whole talk on this, we're not going to go through today, but in terms of victimhood, there are two things that just bother me, and if we embrace it, you're just not going to get there. They're anti-biblical. You're not going to lose your salvation. God's not going to zap you. But he can only bless your part of your life, which lines up with his. Scripture says very clearly, you are accountable for your works and your deeds. You can't blame it on your wife. You can't blame it on your husband. You can't blame it on your kids. They may be part of the problem, but he's greater is in you than he that is in the world, or your wife that you're married, or your kids you're married. You know where I have learned the biggest lessons in my life? in terms of character development, is an employer I worked for that I hated. Not that I hated. I hated their methods. I didn't hate them. You know, the last one I worked for, you were long gone. You got out early. God's grace was on you. I learned more in that 2 years. Oh, my gosh. And so, was it a good situation? No, you don't want to be there permanently, but it was good for me because I was like, I'm not going to react. I'm going to respond. Most of us react and then we blame. And so one of the things we've got to do to switch to a victor mentality is to stop blaming and don't react, respond after corresponding with the Holy Spirit. And so socialism comes in and violates the principle of individual responsibility. You can't get out on your own. Now, I'm all for programs of helping people get out. I've been on unemployment 3 times. Been on food stamps once. Been laid off 3 times. So, but I also wasn't going to stay there. And if you add up all the taxes for unemployment I put in, a lot more than I ever took out, but I wasn't going to stay there. But when we're systematically staying there and I expect them to get me out, I've accepted a victim mentality instead of temporary help, which we all want to do. Individual responsibility is being stolen, saying it's some bureaucrat somewhere's problem. No. It is your problem between you and Holy Spirit. He is strong enough, powerful enough, as we push in and say, Holy Spirit, this is not the way I'm supposed to live. This is not how I'm supposed to design. Show me a way out. Take responsibility. That's the biblical way. I'm not against help. The second is this. We talked about it last week, but I'm just blow through it. The Bible is the most compassionate, helping people, philosophy, religion on the face of the earth. Hospitals started because of Christianity. Gail Nightingale, supposedly the first nurse, had a vision from the Lord and started doing stuff. You go on and on. The Knights of St. John, the Templars, the true ones, they did the first hospital in Jerusalem. It's all through most of the powerful that are doing any good, non-governmental organizations around the world are Christian. So that's not what I'm talking about. But I mean, that's biblical to do that. And the government, when they come along and say, we're going to take up these values, that's good. But when they force you and I to pay for it, it crosses the line, is no longer biblical. Compassion, justice, and mercy is always voluntary in the Bible. And when the government forces you to do these works, which they're doing, the Bible calls it stealing. Because it's not out of choice, and you don't get rewards for it because you're made to do it. And so, we'll just leave it at that. But all this is the cradle-to-grave mentality. I'm not saying it's wrong, but if it promotes in you a victim mentality, and you look to them for your Savior, they'll keep you into food, they'll keep you in food, keep you in rent, barely, in all of those, and the blessings that God wants to do on you, He cannot because they're your God instead of He's your God. And it stifles creativity. You know, I'm 61. I can retire at 63 or 67. It's a big difference in pay. I was looking at the 63 thing. Yeah, they'll give me some money. Okay, well, good. That'd be good extra money. But then they limit a very small amount how much you can work beyond that. They keep you at a bare minimum. I'm like, dude, I'm never doing this. As long as I can work, you're going to make 10 times. And that's what happens. It limits how much God can do. And so we don't. So the difference between a victim and a victor, the victor goes, thank you for the help, but I'm not staying here. The creative spirit of the Holy Spirit is strong enough inside of me. We're going to see what He has for me. I'm going to embrace this thing and walk through it. Where each of us is at. Now this is going to be harsh. Are you all ready? Put on your Teflon shields. Where each one of us is at is a result of one of three things. By what we did. It's just the truth. Now, what do we do with those that have been victimized, abused? There's a lot of them. Okay? How did you respond to that victimization? We're not going to deny it, but Father, this hurts. Father, I thank you that your power is great enough. It won't remove the memory, but it can remove the pain of this thing. If it affected your circumstances, Father, I'm behind the eight ball. I thank you that your glory and your power is great enough to overcome this. But I'm seeing more and more, even in Christians, I'm stuck here. So-and-so's got to do this. So-and-so's got to do that. No, you need to repent for not believing God. Ask His forgiveness for letting them control your circumstances and your emotions, and saying, instead of saying, Father, I forgive them. It may be hard. It may be a process. You have to start with the words. Feelings will come later. I forgive them, and I thank you that I can do the same thing you did. Jesus Christ had 12 people, not counting the other disciples, women, His mother, Mary of Magdalene. It goes on. It looked like at least 70 people went everywhere with Him. We think of the 12. But He had at least the 12, okay? Fed them, housed them, walked with them, poured in them. And when He needed them the most, guess what? That's right. Peter denies them 3 times. And then on the cross, the week before, all of Jerusalem is waving palm branches, which has a meaning of, you know, in the Old Testament Hebrew, make them king, make them king. A week later, they're crucifying them, cussing them at the cross. Now, I've had betrayals in my life like you. I've had rejections in my life like you. That's a whole nother scale, man. I've never had that. But He overcame that. He didn't stay there. And the power of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you resurrected Him 3 days later. To this day, I've not seen this in Jesus. I've heard a lot of people say it. When you see Him, you still see the holes in His hands or wrists. That's intense. Not just inner marks of rejection, but outer marks. But He didn't stay there. And He said, I commit my spirit to you, Holy Spirit. And so that's what you do. You say, Holy Spirit, I commit my spirit to you, Holy Spirit. Stop the blame. Stop and take personal responsibility and say, you're bigger than me. Now, to do this, we've got to give up several things. One, there's a certain attention that comes from a victim mentality. Have you ever been around those people? Oh, my gosh. And you hate them when they're a relative and they're at the family reunion. I've just learned they're all gone now. Praise God. They've all died and gone to heaven. But I've had some relatives. When you went into the family reunion, you made sure you did not sit by them. I'm the only one, right? I can tell. Because the next 45 minutes while you're eating, this is hurting and that's bad and this happened. And I'm like, dude, what a waste. I never said this. This is the flesh. This is Craig, not God. I was like, just go on home and get it over with, okay? Be with Jesus in heaven. I'm not going there. Maybe I'm a wimp. And so a victim mentality is when you see your entire life to a perspective that things constantly happen to you. And this is opposite of you happening to your circumstances. The difference is Holy Spirit. And so we need to, at a national level, regional level, personal level, we just need to reject this thing. There is a place for compassion, mercy, helping each other. That's what the body of Christ is a lot for. That's what community's for. I'm not saying it's just all pull yourself up by the bootstraps, because you can't. It's too big. He's made us to work together. But it's, I need you to help me now, and as I get through it, I'm going to turn around and help you and take individual responsibility, because it's going to steal your influence. But you got to give up attention. I've seen people struggling with the victim mentality, and when they start shifting into a victor mentality, they literally don't know what to talk about. Because it's all been about themselves and their problems. This is what I suggest. 98% of the time, take your problems to Jesus. And when He gives you release, the other 2% of the time, go to who He told you to talk about it. I don't know about the percentages, but you get my point. Take them to Him first. This is what I found with a victim mentality. I found this very soon on. Have you ever tried to offer suggestions to them? And you quickly realize they don't want suggestions. They like it here. Because it gives them a weird, perverted sense of attention and validation. And so now I just avoid them. If I'm stuck with them, I just listen to them. Very quickly identify, do they really want help or they just want to talk? Their identity is in their problems. Christians have problems, but our identity is in the prophetic promises God has for us over our life. Our identity is in the person of Jesus Christ and the things we're experiencing as we're walking with Him. Do we have problems? Yes. Do we have problems till we die? But, and so, the first step is this. Stop the blame. Now, I know this doesn't apply to any of us in here. I really do believe that. I know most of you. But how many of you around people, especially the younger people, because they grew up in a whole different mentality than this 61-year-old. The world has changed. But this is still a biblical principle. You're the only person, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids, not your employer, with Holy Spirit, who can change your outcome. If you have a victim mentality and somebody gives you $1 million, short amount of time, it's going to be all gone. And you're going to be worse off because now you've pissed off, I'm sorry, you've put off everybody around you. I have to bleep that out. Because now the friends you did have before are now ticked at you because you didn't give them $100,000 of that million. Now you're broke and they're mad at you. Y'all think I'm kidding. How many of you know that's the truth? So the first step out of victim mentality is to stop blaming others for how you feel, how you walk in, or whatever. You just got to stop it. Now, have things happen to you? I want to be very clear. Yes. And they're going to happen to you till you die. Okay? Things happen. How you respond to it will determine if you stay there. The Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is, God is bigger than this thing. You look through all the heroes of the Old Testament and the New Testament and go through and look at their lives. They all had major things happen to them. Let's talk about Joseph. Born into a rich family, born into the patriarch family. He gets this dream, we're not sure when he got it, 16, 17, of the sun, of the moon, and the stars, and the sun bowing down to him. That's a pretty cool dream. If you're Hebrew, that doesn't really mean anything to us. You're doing a good job holding that yarn for her. You're a good husband, good assistant. That's a team effort, whatever she's building there, isn't it? I don't know why I said that. So it's funny. But anyway, in the Hebrew, those things meant family members, the sun, the stars, and the moon. And he was prophesying to all his older brothers and his parents, one day you're going to bow down to me. Now, how well do you think that came off? If your younger brother, if he had one, not imagine it, or your youngest son comes up to you and goes, you're going to bow down to me one day. Okay, this was a prophetic promise. It was true. He did not go to the prophesy class that we teach here to realize some things just keep it to yourself and let it play out. And if it's God, it's God. If it's not, it's not. Don't antagonize people. But he didn't know that. Well, they got mad at him and they went overboard. I mean, it wasn't right. You know the story. They put him in a pit and sell him to slavery. Okay, he just got a promise. He's now a slave in Egypt. We could go on and on. He ends up in jail. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, which was the second in command. This dude went through a lot of calamity. A lot of it was for his own character. A lot of it was the devil trying to steal his calling. I mean, you have to make that judgment as you go along. Any moment along that, like, 30-year journey, he could have lost the promise if he had stayed a victim. Oh, woe's me. I had it so much better in Israel. And now I'm here in jail. But he kept believing God. There were some times he wavered. You could see that. We're all going to waver. But he believed, I need a supernatural move bigger than me. And that's how it is. Each one of you, whatever problems you're facing, yes, you're facing them. But go to God and say, Father, I thank you that in your time, make my heart pure. Make my vision pure. Help me not to get mad. Help my victory not to be in somebody else but you. He'll always use somebody else. It's usually somebody you don't know. He uses circumstances most of the time. Sometimes he'll do supernatural moves. But my hope is in you, and this isn't my destiny to stay in jail. Let me just throw out some practical stuff I worked out, wrote down. Instead of bemoaning the minimum wage job you have, or minimum job, go, Father, what was I created to do? Where can I go to get the skills for that so that I can be the best breadwinner for my family that I can? It's going to take hard work. It's going to take skills, but He can position you. If you don't have the money, ask Him for the money. If you don't have the influence, He'll make whatever it is to get you there. Instead of, I hear this a lot among young people. There's none yet. Well, there's some here. Sitting at home feeling sorry for themselves because they have no friends left. But they won't get out and go. They're looking for more followers on social media. You got to put yourself out there. Father, help my anxiety. Help me to connect with the right people. Try different things and look for His lead in that. Amen. Let me close with this. This is something that helps me, maybe it'll help you, is to be grateful and appreciative of where you are at. That doesn't mean you're going to be there forever, but you're there. Start being grateful and appreciative. Victim mentality focuses on their pain and their troubles. Appreciative and grateful is, Father, this could be a whole lot worse. I shared some personal stories last week. I was listening to Heidi Baker's story about she started, I don't remember, thousands of churches in Mozambique. Found her on YouTube. She came back to America for 2 weeks about a month ago. She did not want to come. And the Lord made her because she wanted to be where her people is, because in northern Mozambique, Al-Shabaab has come in. It's killed hundreds of her disciples that she's raised up. Burned hundreds of her churches that they've done together. One of her pastors came coming into her village, just a mess. His whole body was burned. They had killed his wife and 2 kids. And they said, we're going to kill you like your God died. They put him on a cross. They nailed his feet down, didn't have enough nails for his hands, tied his hands to the cross, poured gasoline on him and set him on fire. And I'm like, God, never let me complain again. He wasn't bitter. He prayed for those people. And I'm like, the things I worry about are heaven to them. And be grateful and appreciative, because this is our assignment here. It's a good assignment. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a good assignment. There are Christians around the world that their assignments look like hell to us. And so wherever you're at, whether you're that guy, he did it right. He jumped back in. He can't hardly walk because of all of his wounds. He said, I feel called to minister to children because my children were killed. And he's their children minister now. And I'm like, that is a victor mentality. instead of a victim mentality. And so wherever you're at, it could be worse. Thank God for where you're at. Not that we're comparing it to worse. But wherever you're at, God has you there. And He can be a victor in your life and teach you how to be a victor. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. And this is a hard one because we want to share our troubles with those that are close to us to get wisdom. But whenever you start complaining, you've crossed the line into victimhood. It's as simple as that. And I know that's a hard teaching. We don't deny reality. There are times we need to share it with people to help us do whatever. But there's a difference between sharing for resolution and complaining. And there is so much complaining right now. I'm just going to tell you, social media has become a tool that's just crap in people's lives. I sort of like Instagram because you just sort of show pictures. And I like the pictures. And I'm on Facebook for pictures. But there is so much whining and so much judgment and so much condemnation and so much this and that on social media. It is not God. If you're in that, quit it, because it's going to trap you in a victim mentality and cause you to never move forward. I know that's hard, but that's just where it's at. If you're on there just for the pictures, do the pictures. I like the pictures. Okay? I like the pictures of family. I mean, that's what it was supposed to be for originally. And I'm still on there. I've got 800 followers. I got rid of about 300 recently because I didn't know who they were. 600 of the 800, I still don't know who they are, but I decided I might as well just quit and unfollow them. I only follow like 5 people, mostly my family. But as soon as somebody gets on there complaining, I just unfollow them. Life is too short to have to wade through other stuff. Jesus is bigger than President Biden. Let me tell you, the problem is not President Biden. If you love him, then be blessed, okay? You ignore everything else I say. If you don't love him, listen in. The problem is not President Biden. The problem is the whole election thing is, but there's huge swaths of Christianity, evangelical, that voted for him. If we get rid of President Biden, huge swaths of evangelicals are going to vote somebody else in. That's just like them. The problem is us, is my point. The problem is the right, who's very judgmental. What God is doing now, Trump is not the answer. You get Trump in with both houses of Congress the way it is, they're going to impeach him and he's gone. And you still got the fools in evangelicalism that's against him. You still got the fields of bureaucracy. The politics is not the answer. The answer is the church figuring out who they are, who their identity is. Stop listening to crap on social media, which is all their news, make their judgments on biblical values, on what is truth, what is right. Sometimes those biblical values are what Democrats believe. Sometimes they're what Republicans believe. God is not, as you've heard that phrase a couple of years ago, God is not an elephant, He's not a donkey, He's a lamb. Amen? And we as Christians have got to mature. The reason the world is the way it is because the church has led this way. That's harsh. I'm not saying us in this room. I'm talking generically. We're perfect in here. You all see what I'm saying? My passion is, as I look across the evangelical landscape, and I'm like, why are we beating up on non-Christians and abortionists? The church looks almost exactly like them. The Episcopal Church has long ordained homosexual priests. 3 weeks ago, they just ordained a bishop, which is over many churches, that's a transgender man. Maybe. I can't remember how you say it. It's a man that thinks they're a woman. What is that? I don't know. I'm so confused. It's a woman that thinks she's a man. Whatever that is. I'm not making fun of them. I just can't keep up with all the alphabets. So Episcopal Church is still a big group of millions of people in this country. We can't blame it on the world. We can't blame it on politics. We have to blame it on the cultural Christianity we have. And I have just gone off the deep end. I don't regret it though. But there's a victim mentality. The problem with me, let's put it with me, it's more fundamentalist, so to speak, in our, is I want to blame it on these other things, and I have to look back. I am a part of the church, capital C, and we're a mess. There's no way we can tell the world to clean up until we clean up our own mess. That's what's happening right now. God is saying, as we said sang last week or week before, we were on that song, Wake Up, over and over again. That's not to the world. That's to us. We are no longer salt and light. We are not salt and light, except for us in here. But we're a small salt shaker. We can't go very far. You understand what I'm saying? And so don't let this victim, we can get a victim mentality in Christianity, blaming it on something else. No. Now, I was talking with Sean this week. He said, what do we do about politics? I said, act. Frankly, there's not much we can do here. We are a very small church. None of us have a national influence. We have a tiny, tiny bit of influence in this region, but not much. We just be faithful where we're at. But I tell you, he's got prophets and apostles in every region that he's trying to wake up. Prophets and apostles in the political realm, in the business realm. The business realm is going corrupt, man. Why? Because we need Christians that are called to the business mountain to wake up and move into those and bring the kingdom values, which are the kingdom's viewpoints, to their domain. That's the battle. We are not battling for this country. Primarily. It's secondary. We are battling for the church to look like the bride of Jesus. And when the bride of Jesus starts waking up to that, it will start influencing the church. We've got to do it in that order. Or else we put our hope in the politics instead of the churches to influence the entire Seven Mountain Kingdom. Let's stand. Y'all are a blessing. And if y'all, after today, it's like, boy, I can't be a victim around Craig. I'm dead. We'll hold each other accountable, right? Because we've all got problems. Except for Josh. We've all got problems. But how do we respond to them is the difference. Around the world, you know what the fastest growing church is percentage-wise? It's not a big number. You know how those percentages work. You go from 10 people to 20 people, you've grown 100%, okay? And is the church in Iran. It's amazing, man. But they get beheaded. That's intense. The Ayatollah Khomeini, you know what their number one thing is? They found this out through different ways. Their number one fear is not the sanctions, is not lack of oil, it's Christianity. Because they realize if a certain percentage of them gets to be big enough, it will topple their kingdom. That's the right way to go about it. You can't change from the top down. You got to change from the bottom up, and then the top reflects what's at the bottom. If you don't like your leadership, it's because it looks like the church. Maybe not in this room, but it looks like the church. That's a heavy thought. Anything else is to take a victim mentality. Amen? Y'all can still talk to me. I'm a nice guy, one-on-one. Maybe. Father, I just thank you that in this room, there's victors all through this room. And that whatever you have destined for them, we're going to make it. We're going to do it. Whatever problems we have today, I thank you that you are bigger than those problems. I still have to figure them out, but I'm going to figure them out with you. And I trust myself with you, Father. And I hand my faults to you. And I say, do not let me embrace less than what you have for me. Teach me how to believe. Teach me how to have courage. Teach me how to fight. And Father, I just declare over every person here, the promises that you have for them, that you had when that sperm and egg came together and you breathed life on it. I pray, Father, I thank you that it's going to happen. It's going to come about. They could die like Jesus And if they're not supposed to be dead, you're going to raise them again from the dead. They could die financially. If they're not supposed to be there, which you're going to raise them financially from the dead. I prophesy over their family members that have left or just not passionate. Father, we stand in the gap for them. That's part of our assignment. And they're going to come about in Jesus' name. Love you guys.